This is why I believe that at least one quarter of the whole Bible is composed of prophecies. It constantly reminds us of this great other world where we're going. That is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, in a word, is the word hope. It gives us hope day after day.
We are beginning a new series today, a series which will uncover so many riches and mysteries, prophecies and visions that are often hard to decipher or place in time. Yet, with perseverance and help from the Lord, we will make sense of the book of Zechariah, and we will find comfort in our present state because we will see how the prophecies state the solution before it happens. Are visions important? The book of Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation or prophecy, there is confusion and disorder." We remember the days of Eli and how there was no open vision at the time. We remember the confusion and what state the tabernacle was in. One more perspective, however, to consider when we think about this verse from Proverbs is the personal vision that we need to have concerning our own lives, concerning our goals and resolutions for the Lord. If we have no vision, no far-reaching thoughts or expectations, if we cannot depend on the promise that we can do all things in Messiah who is in us, we will rob ourselves of the joy and blessing that comes from faith and perseverance. When the Jewish pioneers came to Israel in the late 1800s, they faced harsh conditions to develop the swampy lands and they faced malaria. But faith in the promise from God that this land was theirs gave them a vision to continue to work, build, grow, and with the Lord's help, eventually the state of Israel was realized. When we have faith and a vision, our myopia is healed. Discover then your gifts that the Lord has given you, for surely each believer has at least one, and then use that gift for the body of Messiah. We thank you, Lord, for these prophetic books and the prophets whom you have called, who courageously speak your will and bring comfort to the oppressed in times of affliction, giving hope of a more glorious future to come. Welcome to Shalom Ariel, and welcome to the beginning of this new series on the book of Zechariah with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to Beit Ariel Messianic Congregation. Let's open up our scriptures to Zechariah, a time travel scroll which will bring us through many visions and revelation where we will see how God is observing, noticing, and noting the actions of man and carefully regulating the flow of history and preparing for his glorious coming. In this book, the present, the past, and the future are often intertwined within the same scene, within the same verse. Time in all its forms is frequently reduced to a moment so that we can see the beginning and the end, where regardless of the problem or the size of the giants, our Lord is always sovereign and his word perpetually prevailing. As for the future events in Zechariah, they so strangely look like our current situations and problems, especially in Israel. We will often have this feeling that the prophet wrote this book for us today, now. In fact, what wonders, how could anyone grasp the message before and as close as 75 years ago? For Israel's struggle, its fight for Jerusalem and for the Temple Mount and her survival are strikingly contemporary. One medieval rabbi, Rashi, who attempted to find meaning in this book, conceded and said that the prophetic visions are so esoteric that many will not be fully understood until the coming of Elijah the prophet, which will bring the messianic times. Elijah is indeed at the door. For every prophecy and today's event concurs to the great tribulation and with all other prophecies of the end, especially those of the book of Revelation, as if the veil, right, the veil is slowly lifting up. I want to tell you, we've never been so close as we are today to the second coming of Jesus. Never. And for the believers today, reading and understanding Zechariah will give us so much comfort. For the believer reading this book, there will be a mounting excitement, for we know and understand that before these events, we will be raptured. A moment that is more imminent than it was ever before in history. The book of Zechariah itself brings us to a most difficult time in the history of Israel. The 70-year captivity in Babylon has ended. The Israelites found themselves under the Persian Empire and were given permission at that time to return to the land. But life in the Persian Empire actually was relatively very good and comfortable. And in fact, it is only recently, did you know that it was only recently that the majority of those Jews who were there came back to the land? 2,500 years later, in between the year 1948 and 1970s, they came back to the land. Those at the time who allowed the Spirit to move their hearts returned to the land, among whom Zechariah, and these had to confront so many obstacles, even with the support of the Persian Empire. You know why the reason they had to come back at that time? The reason is that they had to prepare Jerusalem and the temple for the first coming of Jesus Christ. Anything pertaining to the Messiah, anything pertaining with Jesus was, and it always was, carefully followed by a great opposition from the evil spiritual forces. They were there in Jerusalem moving everything and every neighbor so to disturb and attempt to stop the preparation of the land for the coming of Yeshua. And this is where the book opens up for us. For the situation today in Israel is very similar as for the Jews that were there. They are back today in the land, very few in number, in fact, for the same reasons, to prepare Jerusalem and the temple for the second coming of Jesus. The writings of Zechariah, then, I want to tell you, are very contemporary as we're going to look into all these visions which speak to us today. And there's another side of prophecy that is powerfully brought in this book, the messianic prophecies. And the Messiah himself, for we will see and perhaps be surprised that he himself appears, even in the first vision. Concerning the prophecy, Zechariah speaks of both comings, the first and second coming. No one in the Jewish community will be astonished anymore if they read the book of Zechariah. He is the one who tells us that the Messiah will come on the back of a donkey, as Yeshua did at the triumphal entry. He is the one who tells us that they sold the Messiah for 30 pieces of silver, the price paid to Judas Iscariot by the religious leaders. He is the one who tells us that when he comes back, the Jewish people and the world will recognize that they have pierced him. Pierced, a piercing reserved for false prophets in the scriptures. And this is what they say he is today. He's a false prophet. The Messiah of Israel is considered as a false prophet. He is the one who speaks of the Messiah as a branch, tzemach, which is not a branch. It's a bud, spring, you know, a little thing that you can step on in this regard, as Jesus was and is today. Zechariah's prophecies are so powerful that the New Testament directly quotes or alludes to this book over 40 times. 40 times. And it is with these prophets where we will learn about the power of prophecy. We need this today because this subject is not being taught less and less everywhere. Both end time and messianic prophecies. While the people then, okay, had so many problems, so many enemies, yet God, through Zechariah, barely mentions their current issues. But instead, he brings them right to the future and gives them a global perspective and at the same time speaks of the great time that is coming when he's going to establish his kingdom. See, I want to tell you, see that our problems can be better dealt with if we have a divinely inspired outlook of the future. This is what the Bible does. This is what prophecy does. This is a therapeutic might of prophecies. This is why I believe that at least one quarter of the whole Bible is composed of prophecies. It constantly reminds us of this great other world where we're going. That is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, in a word, is the word hope. It gives us hope day after day. For at the end, the word of God assures us of a much better life. Now let's get hold of these promises, right? Let's begin by reading the first verse, which situates us in history and which contains a message of hope right there and then. Zechariah 1:1. In the 8th month
of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. You know, reading the first verse, we understand that Israel has lost its jurisdiction over the Temple Mount, over the place where the temple was to be rebuilt. See on whose reign the date is based on. On a foreign king, Darius, who began his reign in 521 BC. Usually dates are given according to a king of Judah or a king of Israel. Not this time. Something happened in history. What? This is an indication and reminder that the times of the Gentiles had already begun. This term was given by Jesus himself in Luke 21:24, where he says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are ended." The times of the Gentiles is the period of time where Israel does not have jurisdiction over the Temple Mount. Since 586, it lost this privilege. You know, at the time of Zechariah, it was under the Persian rule, then the Greeks, then the Romans, and today the Temple Mount belongs, or it is under the jurisdiction of the Jordanians. You see the golden top and the mosque next to it, right? This is a constant reminder that we're in the times of the Gentiles. They're not supposed to be there. And so the book is dated according to a foreign idolatrous king. But it matters really not, for God is in control, and even today. Even today. Have you thought about the great irony of our current calendar and our ways to date, you know, our days and months? It's based on a Jewish king, on Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Our dating system is supposed to be based on the year the Messiah was born, 20 years ago. So Darius, or the golden cup, it is only a show, for God is in control. God is in control. And there's a great promise for Israel and for all those who approach the book of Zechariah or any part of the scriptures. The message of hope is in the words, Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. Where is it? Zechariah is composed of two words, Zakar and Yah, a diminutive name of Jehovah. And together it means God remembers. Berechiah is composed of two words, Barach, means to bless, and Yah means God. That means God blesses. And Iddo, a word that has to do with the concept of time, for the word Ada, which speaks of perpetuity, without end, to all eternity. The three names together tells us that God remembers and God will bless at his appointed time. And this is what he does in Zechariah. And so he's about to do in the rest of the book, despite the great opposition that we had then and that we have today. And furthermore, the way the name of God is written with the first, you know, it's only the first letter of his full name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is the Yud and the He. The rabbi asked, why half of his name? Perhaps because he is not yet recognized by the nation, but yet he is sustaining it. See that the letter Yud is the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. 10 is the number of divine perfection. And the He is the 5th letter. 5 is the number of grace. Together we have God acting in his perfect time out of grace to bring about the coming of his Son. Even his name here begs all people to ask, to inquire, why is it like this? And furthermore, the mention of these three names reminds us and enhances the priestly lineage of Zechariah. He was a priest, and that's significant. Berechiah is the father of Zechariah, and Iddo, his grandfather, and later in Nehemiah 12, he identifies Zechariah as the head of the priestly house of Iddo, which was one of the 24 courses of priests, as the one of Abijah, from where the other Zechariah comes in the Gospels. And this information helps us to appreciate Zechariah's message and put it in line with Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who also were priests. Like Jeremiah, who is called the high priest before him, who prophesied about the destruction of the temple in 586 BC. Like Ezekiel before him, the priest prophet who prophesied about the messianic temple. And Zechariah, the priest, here speaks about the construction of the second temple, the third and the final temple in Israel here. So these three prophets are priest kings, and the three of them are related in the history of the temple from its destruction with Jeremiah, to its rebuilding with Zechariah, to the millennial temple with Ezekiel. And there's one more element in this first verse which will bring us to further appreciate God's message. It begins when? In the eighth month. The religious calendar ends on the seventh month. And it ends with the Feast of Tabernacles, which symbolizes the messianic times, the millennium, where the people recalled Ezekiel's prophecies of the messianic temple and a time of peace and harmony when the Messiah will be on earth. However, here they were in Israel. After celebrating this feast, they were in Israel, in Jerusalem, with a partially built temple right after Sukkot. It must have been a downer. But here Zechariah comes at a most appropriate time, the eighth month, and begins his prophecy speaking of the importance of the city of Jerusalem and of the temple. And we can say, Zechariah, the son of Berechiah and the son of Iddo again. God will always remember and bless at a very appropriate time to everyone. Amen. This is how powerfully the first verse of Zechariah tells us. It is now that we're coming to a very hopeful and promising section. We're not in the visions yet. These are a preparation for the visions. Here the words which are timeless and yet speak so loudly to Israel today and to every soul everywhere. Let's see verses 2 to 6. Let's read them. And see how Zechariah begins and ends his first message. And there's, I want to tell you, a lot for us there. The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear or heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servant the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and says, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. Let us try to see the depth of this message, because it is for us today. It is for us. The first word, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Can't you see this all around? The people at the time of Zechariah just came back from captivity, and the effect of God's anger was all around them. The city was in ruin, the temple as well, and the neighbors all around Israel were full of incomprehensible hatred. But don't we see the same thing today? Now, the Jews are back to the land of Israel, but this is not the way it's supposed to be. There's no peace, but constant opposition and hatred and the land. Did you see how small it is? How broken up it is? This is because the Lord has been very angry with your fathers, he says, because they did not abide by the word of God. And the word angry is repeated twice in Hebrew, katsef, katsaf, for sin brings about the anger of God. For all people on this earth, Israel should know from their own history, which testifies that sin brings this utter anger, that only recognition of sin and repentance brings God's peace. Daniel knew about it. He knew after the 70-year captivity, you know what he did? For a long time in chapter 9, he confessed the sins of Israel. On and on. Things are happen for a reason. Okay, their current situation is because sin which angers God. Someone said how patient of history to keep repeating itself when practically nobody listens. But let us listen to what Zechariah says. And now hear what God says to Israel, even today, and by extension to every believer who has gone astray. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Return to me. Have you noticed how many times he says this? Four times. between verses 2 to 6. And this is God's desire for everyone. And see that while the Israelites did not return to the land, or actually they did return to the land physically, their hearts were still in Persia. God wants genuine action, one that has to return spiritually, psychologically, completely. Then God himself will return to us. He is there always waiting for a decision to react and revert back, right? He will not force anyone. We need to do the first step. He's waiting. Today there's a term used when a Jew returned to the land, tshuva. Tshuva this is. And they are, and I believe more and more Jews are returning to the land today because of the increase of anti-Semitism around the world. But Zechariah tells them, tshuva is from your heart first, your heart. Now, how serious is God when he speaks this way? Have you noticed how many times he says the Lord of hosts? Three times. He does not want us to miss this opportunity to return to him. The Lord of Tzavuot, that is the Lord of the armies of heaven, that is, this is how he's depicted as a warrior ready to judge. You don't want to meet him this way, right? As we said before. And this title is repeated, you know how many times in the book of Zechariah? 53 times. That is about one quarter of all the mention of this great name in the Hebrew Bible. It's concentrated on this small book because the message is powerful. We remember that the first mention of this name was in 1 Samuel in relation to the fallen tabernacle and religious condition of Israel. It is the same at the time of Zechariah and the very same today when we consider the state of religion in Israel and elsewhere.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will he renege any of the promises he has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you and Shalom, Shalom.
To you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. The only recourse that I know. When shame denies me a place in your fold, in your love, remember me. Show me your road with respect to the truth. Not against me the sins of my youth. There's no one to turn to if you won't come through. In your love, remember.